Hey, you guys. Happy Sunday.
Yeah.
And happy day before 4th of July.
Yeah, we're going to the club tonight, too.
Yeah.
It's not going to be a serious night, though. They got weak drinks there.
It'll be okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll just go there. Well, I mean, you know, we had a good time Friday night, too, but...
Yeah, so it looks like people are still starting to come in. I got a story about this movie.
Yeah, this is pretty good.
This is a movie called Beast Within.
The Beast Within.
Yeah. And I was always getting it confused with another movie called Extro. And I saw this when I was a kid. All right. It was my freshman year of high school. I had just moved to Brazil. All right. And the kid that lived in the apartment underneath me, his name was Nelson Augusto. And he was a Brazilian kid. But he went to a British private school there in Brazil. So he spoke English. And just by chance, he lived right underneath me. So I'm new to Brazil, and I start hanging out with this Brazilian guy. We're listening to fucking heavy metal and shit, and he's a total stoner. We got high as shit and fucking watching this movie. And the movie is taking place in Mississippi.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I'm like, wait a minute, I'm in Brazil, and it's taking me back to Mississippi now, you know? And fucking, it's about a kid, about a teenage kid. I couldn't remember the story real well, you know what I mean, as an adult. I knew it was about a teenage kid that was transforming into what I thought was an alien. And I didn't really catch it when I first watched the movie, probably because I was high. The kid actually is turning into the most Mississippi fucking monster you could ever fucking think of. He's turning into a fucking cicada.
A were cicada?
Yeah. And it happened because his mom got raped by a cicada. A cicada monster. And I didn't pick it up in first viewing, but second viewing, seeing this thing again. First of all, this motherfucker's a masterpiece. The reason why mom got raped by a damn cicada man.
It's so
that dude was fooling around with another dude's wife, and that guy captured him and put him underneath the house and was feeding him dead bodies.
As one does.
Because this is happening in Mississippi.
What? We've all been there, right?
Yeah. And the dude that's got him captured is the cousin to the local judge, and they run the town. So they're able to fucking, instead of bury the bodies out in the cemetery, they're giving it to this dude, making him eat it, which of course is going to turn you into Cicada Man.
Duh.
That's never really explained.
I thought everybody knew that.
Only in the Mississippi verse does that happen. All right. And this shit here, man, it affected me, man. It had good fucking special effects for the day.
That's really, I think, the main... I mean, other than this has, like, a really stacked cast as well.
Star-studded.
Like, pretty much everybody that's in it you will recognize, which I'll get into in a bit.
Star-studded.
But I think, like, the best thing about this, other than its utterly batshit insane premise, is the special effects are actually quite, quite good.
Yeah.
This was 82. This came out in 82.
And the acting isn't bad. And it's shot competently, and it's filmed in Mississippi. This is a Mississippi fucking movie. Mm-hmm. And had you known Mississippi in the 70s and the early 80s when this movie... You know, it was supposed to, actually, the movie starts and it's supposed to be in the 60s. But if you ever went to Mississippi in the 50s, you know, anytime before that, 90s, Mississippi was a fucking swarm of insects 24/7. Just fucking bugs everywhere. Especially at night. Every damn light had a fucking cloud of bugs swirling around it. They had bug zappers with the blue lights on them. And you could sit there and just fucking, I don't know why we did it. Everybody seemed to had to have one, just zapping bugs all fucking night long. And all the frogs underneath the bug zapper eating all the fucking dead bugs. It's just funny. You know what I mean? You weren't even putting a dent in the population. It was just... it attracted bugs and killed them. But it's not like that anymore. It's funny. You don't see... Isn't that funny how all the swarms of insects are gone? I don't know, because maybe the population's more dense, so you're dividing up the bugs between the lights now. I don't know.
Yeah, it could be, or, you know, there might be, like, a combination of factors. Maybe it's, like, other species were introduced that eat more of them.
Insecticide or something.
Yeah, insecticides. I'm sure that has something to do with it, too.
So every time I was going to the South, you know, there was always, like, fucking cicada years. Sometimes the years were really fucking bad. And if you guys know what a cicada is, it's a flying bug with the wings folded back on it. It's that long. It's, like, that big around. It's the size of a damn... It's the size of a turd, and it looks like a turd. It looks like a green turd with eyes on it, with fucking legs and a face. All right? It looks like something out of the Outer Limits. Remember, like, the Zindi attack? No, what was it? The Zindi Misfits? The Zanti Misfits. Remember that episode where they got attacked by the giant ants from outer space on the Outer Limits? You don't remember that one?
No, I don't.
Yeah, they look like that. And that's what happens in this movie. Dude turns into a fucking giant one. And it's raping people.
Kind of.
And killing people. Kind of.
He doesn't really look like a bug.
No.
I'm kind of going to say
His head does for a minute.
Yeah.
Never want to swell up like that. Yeah. Okay, Jenny. So.
He kind of looked like my little brother when he got sunstroke one year and his face ballooned up. Kind of looked like that. Like a much more extreme version, obviously.
Yeah. It's got the dude that played Cohagen from Total Recall. Those are the guy who played the head of OCP and RoboCop. It's got him.
Yeah, Ronnie Cox.
And his wife is that hottie that played Kirk's girlfriend from Wrath of Khan. One where, you know, the son got killed later.
Bebe Besh.
Yeah, Bebe's her real name, but she played that doctor. She's in it. It's got every character actor that Hollywood has is in this fucking movie.
That was in shit in the 80s, yeah. You were just kind of like, oh my God, it's that guy. Like, every single person was recognizable.
Every one of them except the kid that turned into the damn monster. He's only in a few movies. He's weird looking, though. He looks like a teenage male Chrissy Hines.
Well, I mean, I think that maybe, like, contributed because, he's kind of, like, not ugly, but he was just,
weird looking.
He was just, like, odd looking.
I don't know if those were real teeth or not. He just had these fucking weird-looking teeth, and he was making weird grimaces and looking really fucking creepy in it. He did a good job in it.
I thought he did, too.
Yeah, but it was a weird movie.
Yeah, I mean...
I remembered it.
Yeah, the thing about it... Okay, so last night, I was just, like, scrolling through, and I was on HBO Max, and I was just like, well... I was like, we need to watch two movies because we're going out tonight, and we won't have time to watch a movie. So I said, we need two, like, one to talk about today and one to talk about tomorrow. So, actually, the first one we watched, I was like, oh, they have Amityville 2, The Possession.
Yeah.
So, we watched that one.
It wasn't bad.
So, we'll talk about that one tomorrow, probably.
Yeah, wasn't bad.
And then, we were either going to watch Amityville 3, but then, for whatever reason, Tom was like, oh, I remember this movie that I saw when I was a kid, and it scared the shit out of me. He's like, but I was really high when I watched it.
Yeah.
And he said it was The Beast Within, and I kind of looked at it, and I was like, I don't think I've ever seen that. I think I'd seen, like... scenes of it, like the scenes of like the special effects of like the transformation and stuff, which is quite good, but I had never seen the movie, and I was like, well, you know, so let's watch that one. So we like rented it. I think it's on Amazon Prime or something. And then when we started watching it, I discovered that not only was this directed by Philippe Mora, who's the same guy that directed Communion, which we just talked about, like with Christopher Walken.
Yeah.
And he also did Howling 2, Your Sister's Werewolf, which is an awful movie.
Terrible.
And Howling 3. So he did those as well. But this was actually the first feature film writing credit for horror legend Tom Holland, the guy that did Fright Night, the guy that did Child's Play. That guy. Thinner, Psycho 2. He did all of those. And this was his first writing credit. So, what ended up happening with this book, or with this movie, is that it's based on a book, sort of.
An unfinished book.
Yeah, kind of. I don't know if it was, like, was it ever finished?
No, I thought they said that they bought the rights to an unfinished book.
Well, they did, but I think he finished it later.
Okay.
So the guy's name was Edward Levy that wrote the novel. And the rights were bought to it, but it wasn't done, like, when they... Because I guess, like, the author was having some kind of marital difficulties or something, and he couldn't, like, finish the book, like, for the time that the pre-production started. So Tom Holland was like, fuck it, I'm just going to, like, take what's written, and then I'll just do my own thing. Now, I haven't read the novel, but I read the Wikipedia synopsis. I don't think there's anything about cicadas in the novel. Now, it does kind of seem like, a lot of the same shit happens, but I think it's more just, like, a straight-ahead, like, lycanthrope story.
Okay, so the cicada angle wasn't in it originally.
I think. I mean, from what I can understand, I think the cicada thing was movie only. I don't think that was in the book. Now, there was kind of, like, transformation and stuff, but I don't think the book specified that he was turning into a cicada.
Okay.
Which, like I said, he... He didn't really look like a cicada. Like, that would have been kind of
really
cool.
Showed him, they never really showed him when he was fully transformed.
That's
they, remember,
true.
They just showed him go through part of the transformation, then he left. He flew out through a hole in the wall. He busted a hole through the wall. And then when they followed him, they followed his footsteps, and then they left the ground, and then they found a damn human, his human skin hanging in the trees. It looked good. There's a lot of good special effects.
Yeah, the special effects in this are really good. I think that...
It's a lot better than I remembered it.
I think the team that worked on this, I think they later worked on The Fly, the David Cronenberg movie, as far as I...
Yeah, and
I
don't think it's like Fly level. It's not.
No, it's not like that.
No, more along the lines of that movie, remember Piranha? Which was also a good movie.
Yeah.
But kind of like Piranha, in terms of production quality and stuff.
But yeah, I mean, and we said before, like, this has, like, a real... Everybody in this is, like, recognizable. Like I said, the main guy who's, like, the dad of the teenager is Ronnie Cox, who was obviously in Beverly Hills Cop and RoboCop, Total Recall, Deliverance. He was in all that. Bebe Besh, that was in Wrath of Khan. She was in Who's That Girl and Steel Magnolias and Tremors as well.
And then everybody else I recognized, but I couldn't tell you where they came from.
Well, you got, like, one of the guys, I think, who do you play? The sheriff or the, I can't remember, but like L.Q. Jones, he was in like a lot of Sam Peckinpah movies, and R.G. Armstrong was as well. You also had Don Gordon in there, who was in Bullet with Steve McQueen. He was in Papillon. He was in Omen 3.
That was the judge, right?
I think so, yeah. And then like there's other guy who I think played the old sheriff, like with the mustache.
Yeah.
That guy was in Walking Tall.
You're right.
And some other shit. And this also had a very small part. One of the cops was actually played by Meshach Taylor, who I recognize from Designing Women, that sitcom, and he was in Mannequin as well. He kind of like, he always played like really flamboyantly like gay characters, but he's just like plays a cop in this one. But, so, okay. Let me see if I can describe like what happens in this movie, because the thing about this movie is that I think it's, the thing that lets it down for me was, like, the editing. Because I think...
It's a little choppy sometimes.
It's a little choppy. And I think I said the same thing about Communion. Like, the editing was strange. And those are, like, the same director.
Yeah.
Now, according to the director, United Artists, who released this, I think they cut out some scenes.
Yeah, so maybe there's stuff missing, definitely.
So maybe I think that's why. Because sometimes, like, stuff is, like, not really explained. Like, it'll just kind of, like, go to the next thing, and you're just kind of have to, like, left to fill in the blanks.
For me, there's only one problem with the movie. I can take the choppy edits. They must have cut out the reason why dude transformed into a damn cicada monster just by eating bodies. There had to have been a reason. You just can't force a person into cannibalism, and then they become a cicada. It doesn't happen.
Not even
in Mississippi does that happen.
Right. Well, not that we know of.
There's got to be a reason. There must have been, it had to have been some kind of curse, some kind of Mississippi Delta fucking voodoo curse, or it had to be something like some kind of toxic chemicals in the ground that people were eating, and then you eat the people, and it turns you into a damn thing. It has to have something to do with, you know, science. It has to be science. Because
or magic.
Or magic. One of the two.
So yeah, that's the kind of thing. It's like they kind of like laid it out because we were like sitting there watching
it. It was a good idea.
And Tom's sitting there going, wait, what the fuck? So why? Okay, but why is he turning into a cicada though?
Yeah.
And then the guy's like, well, I'm going to explain it to you. And he explains it. I'm like, he didn't really explain it though.
That's not an explanation.
I was like, because it was just kind of like step one, step two, step three, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, yeah.
And then he's a cicada. And I was just like, there's a whole bunch of stuff missing right in there.
Yeah, missing in there. Fucking, you know.
Right in there. It's not, you're not really going from point A to point B.
No, it had a lot of good elements though.
It did, yeah.
It had a lot of good elements.
It's a fun movie.
It was filmed on location outside Jackson and other places around Mississippi. I was looking at it, I was going, they go into a swamp. And I said, that doesn't look like Mississippi, it looks like Louisiana. I don't know, because it's very rare that you see a swamp like that anywhere in Mississippi. I think that part might have been Louisiana, which is, you know, not far. Slidell, a couple hours, you know. But you could find a place like that. But, you know, so I'm not sure if there might be something like that in Mississippi. I've just never seen it. And then they got the architecture correct. They got kind of like, they got a lot of things about Mississippi, the way it looked back then, correct. Those old buildings, family kind of clan warfare, because the dude, not only does he come back as a cicada, he's trying to wipe out an entire family of people.
Yeah, because so did like I also a, mention it's like yeah. an intergenerational
yeah,
were cicada monster.
Right. So it's kind of like
I said, it's complicated.
So it's kind of like a hat, kind of like a Hatfield McCoy type situation. The movie is a lot like Pumpkinhead in some ways, kind of like Pumpkinhead, yeah. where you know Pumpkinhead comes back with people that have committed crimes and doing this and done, you know.
Like well, he's like a revenge demon. You go and like right. summon him, and then right. like he'll come back and wipe out right. who you want.
This is a revenge that. Monster, basically taking a revenge on an entire clan. What were they called? The fucking...
The Kerwins.
The Kerwins, yeah.
Was like the family that... Yeah, they were like all related.
Yeah, and the dude that turns... The kid that turns into the cicada, his love interest is a Kerwin. So he's trying to save her and kill her at the same time. It's kind of... There was a situation like that, I think, in Pumpkinhead, too. Just kind of felt like that.
Danny Rowling, and I think the message was retracted, but he said, yeah, a guy was forced into cannibalism in... Ravenous. Yeah, that's true, but the thing about Ravenous was that it was based on a Wendigo. Yeah. You know what I mean? So I was kind of thinking, like, when they just were like, oh, well, somebody got forced into eating dead bodies, and then that made them a monster, I was like, oh, like a Wendigo thing, but it's not really like a Wendigo thing, because no. Wendigos don't have anything to do with cicadas.
It's a Mississippi Wendigo, which looks, like, a, which yeah. looks like a cicada.
Maybe yes. that's what it is.
And what was funny is that it would rape women, and the cicada monster guy would die after, and then he would be reborn. His memories and
yes,
everything.
So there's also like reincarnation.
So it's kind of like reincarnation.
That's what I'm saying. Because cicadas...
Right.
Well, they're like locusts in yes, the sense yeah. that they have like a 17-year... yeah. What do they even call that? Like a 17-year...
Like a life cycle.
Like cycle. Life cycle.
You're born as a human, but then when you're about 17 or so, you start splitting down the back and you come out, your head swells up, and you come out like a fucking... human-sized cicada that's bipedal.
And that eats people.
That eats people and can impregnate women.
I mean,
and then you're reborn in that woman.
Yeah.
You have your memories and everything.
Yeah, so basically that's what happens.
It's a good idea.
It is. I mean, it's a weird, and it needed a lot of exposition.
Yeah.
Because, like I said, there's a lot of steps that yeah. have to happen.
It's a Mississippi original. Even though it was probably not a Mississippi dude that came up with it. It's just, but that's where they put it.
Yeah, I'm not sure like where the guy that wrote the book. Well, like right. I said, the guy that wrote the book, I don't think the cicada angle was in there. It was no. more like, I don't know if it was a werewolf, but it was kind of like a, just like a lycanthrope type of thing.
They probably went down to Mississippi to make the movie and they saw those cicadas and go, oh, we gotta put these fuckers in the movie.
Let's make that. Let's yeah. make it like a werewolf
that's
movie, but with bugs.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's like that.
Bugs would impress people back in those days. Mississippi bugs impressed the shit out of people. It was like the Mekong Delta, literally.
Well, those bugs are yeah. really big, too.
Yeah.
Like, sometimes you'd be, like, they have, because we have them in Florida, too, and, like, yeah. you'd be, like, walking around out in the summer, and all of a sudden you hear, boom, and, like, one would, like, hit you in the face. You know yeah. what I mean? They're like big and heavy.
Mississippi has one of the largest populations per capita of Vietnamese immigrants because the weather and the topography is a lot like the Mekong Delta. So they're right at home there. And they're fishermen. So bugs, fucking crazy bugs and fish. Yep.
But yeah, so basically what happens in this movie is you have the mom and the dad, Ronnie Cox and B.B. Bash, right? And... It starts out in 1964, right? 1964.
Yeah.
And they're kind of on this back road in the middle of nowhere, and their car breaks down or whatever. And so he's like, okay, well, you and the dog stay in the car. I'm going to go back to the town and get a tow truck or whatever. And she, like, the dog jumps out the car, so she goes into the woods in the middle of the night, like, following it. And then this monster comes and, like, rapes her. So she gets pregnant from this. So then we jump ahead 17 years, and obviously they have a 17-year-old son who's been normal up to this point. But then, like, he suddenly gets sick, and the doctors don't know what's wrong with him. They just say it's some kind of, like, a pituitary gland disorder. Like, they don't really know what it's like. He's dying, and they don't know what the deal is.
Right.
So the parents are freaking out. What are we going
to
do?
Take them to Jackson.
Well, yeah. Well, they have to go back to this. What the town is called? What, Nioba or something like that?
Yeah, I've never heard of Nioba, Mississippi.
Yeah, I don't know if they made it up.
I'm not even sure that's a real place.
They might have just made it up.
Yeah.
Because they were like, well, we don't. Because bad shit happens there. So they don't want like other people going, oh, bad shit doesn't happen in our town.
Yeah.
So it might be that. So it might just be like made up. But they're like, oh, well, maybe it's like they figure it's maybe some kind of genetic disorder. So like, well, since the mom was raped, let's try and see if we can find out, like, who the dad is, because maybe we can get some answers as to what's wrong with the kid, you know, if we can find out who the rapist is, right? So they have to go back to the town that they originally went to 17 years ago. And then when he's there, like, he kind of gets a thing where he's just, like, really, really sick, but then sometimes he's really, like, better. And then when he gets better, he starts sneaking out of the hospital, which they really should have, like, watched him better, because he just... He kept sneaking out, and they'd be like, hey, you snuck out. And they put him back in the hospital, and then they just, like, leave him alone again. And he's like, bye, I'm sneaking out here again. So, yeah, so he starts, like, doing a transformation thing. And it's almost kind of like you said, he has the same memories as the original guy who's, what was his name? Billy Connors.
Yeah.
Billy Connors was the rapist.
You're right.
But that guy was, yeah, there was some kind of thing where
he was
slept
also
with somebody's.
A victim.
Yeah, he slept with somebody's wife or something like that, and like
he slept with the judge's cousins. He slept with his wife. He caught him in bed. He killed the wife and then stuffed the dude down in the damn cellar and started starving him, and then fed him the wife, and then started feeding him all the dead bodies that were coming through the damn through the mortuary. And they hid. They just put. They were burying. They weren't burying people in the cemetery. They buried rocks, and they all hid it.
Yeah, because they were all in on it.
It's never really clear why they would do that. You know what I mean? Fucking, that's sticking your neck out. Well, that dude was taking care of their daughter, and the daughter was the love interest of the fucking kid. Man, it's convoluted.
That's right? What I was saying. It's very, very convoluted.
Well, when he was down in the cellar, he busted out one night. Back in 64. And they had a breakdown on the road. And dude went to go get a tow truck. They call him Wrecker in Mississippi. Fucking went to go get the Wrecker. And when she was waiting out the car, the fucking escapee monster, he'd already transformed into some kind of cicada-looking thing. He grabbed her and fucking pulled her clothes off so you get some gratuitous titty shots. Because, you know, that was the time. You know, teenage boys wanted to see them titties. That's what you could get them in the movie. They do it twice in the movie. So it is a authentic early 80s fucking horror movie, okay? So then it rapes her, but it doesn't kill her. He comes back and he finds blood all over her, but I don't think it was her blood. It was the blood on that damn monster. Because I guess he's peeled out through his skin.
Or something.
Something like that.
I don't know. It was kind of dark. I couldn't tell like what was going on.
She got pregnant from it, and dude knew, and they raised it. And it's the kid in the movie. All right. That fucking monster died somehow. They didn't really say how it died, did it? I guess it died on its own because it dies after it has sex. So there you
yeah,
go.
Because that's what happens to the...
So the boy was a reincarnation of that thing. Well, guess what? The dude that killed him, the dude that killed the wife, he had a daughter from the wife.
Yeah.
And that ended up being the girlfriend of the new kid. So there was kind of like he had reincarnated. So it was kind of like... It was the daughter of his ex-girlfriend who he ate.
Yeah.
That's a weird angle.
This is so complicated.
It's very complicated.
We need like a chart.
Yeah, you gotta have a flow chart.
I was thinking that when I was watching. Well, and you have to think too that everybody in this town, like kind of all of the authority figures, are all like in on it, and we're covering it up for some reason.
Yeah.
So like the guy that, like the weirdo that is the Undertaker, like he's in on. I don't think the sheriff was in on it.
Yeah.
I don't think he knew because he was just like younger, like when the whole shit happened. Yeah. But everybody else knew, like the judge and all that. Like everybody knew, and they were doing this whole thing where it was all covered up, but then so when the guy was a cicada monster, he was going around killing the Kerwins, but I guess he didn't live long enough to do it, so then he raped that woman. 17 years later, her teenage son is also turned into cicada monster and is like also wiping out Kerwins.
So
there's a lot of like small town like conspiracy type, like because they're all in on it and nobody wants to like tell anybody any information like about these murders.
Rob jumped in and said, "I want to say this movie's awesome." I don't know if that's Rob Levinson. It might be. I don't know.
I think it is. Yeah, because I think that's his little avatar.
He likes this movie. Yeah.
I did too, and you know what? I'm amazed that I had never seen it. Like I said, I'd seen the transformation scenes toward the end, which are actually quite impressive.
Yeah.
You know, if you've seen anything, I think it started. The whole thing started with Altered States, where they had, you know, they could put those bladders, like the air bladders, like underneath like people's skin, and so everybody was like wanted to like transform and everything.
Yeah.
So it has like really really good effects in that.
There's elements of whitesploitation in it, which I liked. The fucking main bad guy is fucking just stereotypical. Fucking country, fucking redneck for the time, almost kind of like something out of Deliverance, you know? It's like that.
Yeah.
Which not totally accurate, but fucking it was good. It's funny. It's fun in the movie to see guys like that, to see characters like that. My little girl, you know, run around with a shotgun wherever he goes.
Yeah. That checks out.
Yeah. He's kind of like, you know, that's my kind of woman. What's his name? Cleavis? No, fuck, what was that?
No, oh, that was from Boggy Creek 2 in the Legend. Yeah. In the Legend Continues.
That's my kind of woman.
Yeah, what was his name? Crenshaw.
Crenshaw. And that's Crenshaw. He was playing himself. They said he was like
the big fat guy with the overalls with one and no shirt underneath.
Yeah, looking at the 70s hottie chick with her feathered hair and shit with her little fucking Indian. There's a man's kind of woman. He's spitting and shit.
Yeah, like with his chaw.
Yeah, yeah.
That's so gross. But yeah, so this one's not quite that bad, but because that was Arkansas.
Yeah,
Arkansas. So that was shot in Arkansas. That's where they were all from. But yeah, this is a Mississippi movie. So you do get like some of the Southern accents are pretty good. Like I think the woman in that one office, she was like overdoing it a tad.
Yeah.
But yeah,
there wasn't any people from Mississippi in that movie.
Yeah, I don't
know. I could tell.
Yeah. Like I said, some of the accents weren't too bad, but
yeah,
like
they weren't annoying.
Yeah, like, that one woman's was a little bit
a little strong, but yeah, a little fake sounding.
But that's okay. But yeah, I mean, just you know what I okay. So I would have liked, because like I said, when we get to the last scene, when like the judge is actually like saying, oh, okay, I'm going to explain what's going on, and he explains like all the stuff that we just tried to explain, like I'm not sure how successful we were in like getting across, but I kind of wish, so I was just kind of like, okay, well, the guy's in the cellar, and they're feeding him dead bodies for whatever reason, and then he turns into a cicada. I was like, I know they probably wanted to do, like, the feeding him dead bodies, because maybe, like I said, they were going for, like, a Wendigo-type angle, because that's kind of what that is. Like, you're a cannibal, and then, like, it turns you into a monster. Which, okay. And probably they wanted some scenes where it's, like, they find, like, all these bodies out by the riverbank, which was actually, like, a good scene, because, like, you know, a dog brings an arm and stuff like that. So that's good. But I really wish there had been one more link in the chain that explained why cicadas.
And all you had to do, it had been easy because it could go right in with the Mississippi motif. There should have been like a Native American guy there. All right.
Well, see, I think that one guy was supposed to be Native American.
Is that what it was?
The guy named Tom, but I don't. But he didn't do any like magical Indian stuff like they have in these movies.
You have to have an Indian in there to Indian-splain to the audience why this shit's happening. And he had to say something about, you know, burial grounds and this and that, and eating of the dead, and in this area, you know, the Great Spirit doesn't like it, and it'll turn you into a blah blah blah, a hachitachi or some shit like that. You know, what's a hachitachi? Oh, it's like the cicada. You know, and it comes out of you. So it's a Wendigo story, basically.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of what I thought.
That would have worked.
But I think it would have worked better if there had been, like, another connection there. Like, okay, we put him in the basement, and we're feeding him corpses.
Yeah.
But then, like, one day, all the cicadas came and they swarmed.
Right.
And then, like, he swallowed a bunch of those, or something. It's like, you know what I mean?
I would have gone with a Native American curse. Angle.
Yeah.
Well, it's like a Wendigo.
I mean, something
it's
like
a Mississippi Wendigo down there with all the damn bugs. Okay. And if you're a cannibal down there, that's your punishment. That's all they had to do. And it'd have been, oh, okay.
Yeah, everybody would have accepted. I said, the premise is crazy enough as it is. So it's just, if you'd had one little thing in there, everybody'd be like, oh, of course.
Yeah, some kind of damn Indian demon goes into you.
Danny Rowling says, how many people die in this film, and are the kill scenes good?
They're okay.
They're pretty good.
They're okay.
I mean, I think the transformation scenes are the best.
Yeah.
I do like the scene where the judge gets his head pulled off.
Yeah.
That's entertaining.
Yeah, it's not... The gore is on par with like Friday the 13th 1, which is mostly illusion. You think you saw something that didn't really happen. A little bit of that. I'd say probably about 4 or 5 people get killed probably before the Great Conflict at the end, probably.
And mostly you just kind of see, like, aftermath. Like, when the one guy gets killed because, like, the weirdo that's, like, making hamburgers and, like, has the guy in there, like, I'm going to make you some hamburgers, like, with his stained wife beater on. And it's like, so the cicada guy, like, kind of, like, chews on his neck a little bit, but then, like, you mostly just see him, like, dead, like, with just, like, blood and, like...
When the movie started, I was surprised how good the score is. It's got a pretty good score. Now, it's mostly incidental in the movie, but the intro and outro music was effective. It's spooky sounding, especially for the time.
I found out, now that you mentioned it, I'm glad you mentioned that, because the guy that did the score was named Les Baxter, and he was kind of like a big band type of guy, like back in the old days. He also did the scores for all the Roger Corman, Edgar Allan Poe movies.
Okay.
Like Pit and the Pendulum and all that.
Okay.
And he did Beach Blanket Bingo.
Okay.
So there's that too. All
right.
And I was just like, I'm glad I wrote that down, because I was like, oh, that's neat.
But the movie's on Amazon, and it's got no reviews. Nobody knows about this movie.
I kind of feel, I found like a few reviews of it.
Yeah.
I think that there has been like kind of a nice Blu-ray released of it in like 2014. And I think that Tom Holland, like a few years ago, was talking about maybe remaking it because it didn't come out the way he wanted it exactly. But I don't know, like I haven't heard anything about that like for a few years, but he was like throwing around the idea.
It could be fixed. You'd have to keep, keep the cicada gig thing. I would keep that.
I would too, but I would
just explain it.
I would explain it a little bit better and make the monster look more like a cicada. Yeah. I mean, you could do
have the technology back then.
You could do didn't the ancient Egyptians, didn't they have like a god that looked kind of like a big bug, like a big scarab or something? Like Khepri, isn't his name?
Yeah,
Khepri?
I don't know.
Like I think he had something like that. So there's like a precedent for it. You could even go, like, the Franz Kafka metamorphosis direction, like the guy that wakes up in bed and he's a giant cockroach, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So.
I think I would go for the fly angle, make it kind of like the fly.
I guess now that we're talking about it, David Cronenberg's The Fly, guy, he didn't really look like a fly either.
No.
Until, like, all his skin, like, busted off.
I'd do it like that.
But, I mean,
all practical effects and puppets.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, it's going to, like, look a lot better.
Yeah.
I just wish that, like, if they remake it, I think they should just make him look a little bit more insect-like.
Yeah.
That's all.
Yeah.
Maybe give him give him, like, some weird, because don't cicadas have, like, this big red eyes like that?
To the movie's credit, when I was 15 watching this, sitting on the couch just fucking stoned as hell, fucking trying to stabilize the room watching this shit. Fucking, I was very forgiving of it because I didn't really understand the cicada angle. I thought it was an alien.
Yeah.
You know?
It just like kinda looks like just like a monster. Yeah. It looks good.
Yeah.
But it didn't
just
like
a monster.
It didn't like scream cicada to me. So I think if you were gonna remake it, like I said, the transformation is good. Like I really liked it's real goopy and like shit popping out of
the
back.
Like looking at it from between fucking, you know, fingers, oh man, did you see that shit? You know, but that's the way, you know, you didn't have the same tolerance back then in the early 80s.
That's true.
You know?
I mean, it's still, you can tell it's 1982, but for 1982. Yeah.
It's pretty good.
I mean, the facial effects like look pretty good. It looks like pretty.
Just on the stepping stone to better movies like The Fly and some of the other. And you can see that it kind of feels in some places like, that transformation scene was a little bit like something out of The Evil Dead, a little bit, kind of. And, American Werewolf in London, you can see a little bit of that in it. It was just building up to that.
I mean, American Werewolf in London, I feel like, was like the gold standard.
Better,
I mean, actually, probably still is. That transformation, werewolf transformation, still looks fantastic.
What year was that?
Hey, that was 81.
81, okay, so it was before this.
And that was 81.
Okay, yeah.
It still looks good.
Yeah.
So, you know. Oh, I wanted to say too, isn't it weird? I was like, I didn't realize this until I saw another review of this and I was like reading some of the comments. And they said, you know, in the early 1980s, there were an awful lot of monster rape movies.
Oh, yeah.
Like you had Inseminoid and Humanoids from the Deep.
Yeah.
Extra.
It was sex and violence combined.
Yeah. And what was the what was that other one? Galaxy of Terror, yeah, like with the big wormless slimy worm, like
that was one
the
of
woman.
The better fucking.
I think we reviewed that, didn't we? We reviewed that, didn't we?
I think we did.
Yeah. Yeah, like Roger Corman. Yeah, there was. So I was just like, yeah, I guess so. There's like a lot of monster rape because there's two monster rapes in this.
That's how you got teenage guys to come see a movie. Back in the pre-porn
like, ooh,
era.
A monster raping a woman, and we get to see her titties. Sign me up.
Yeah, it was pre. It was pre easy access to porn.
Yeah.
So you know your friends would come back from the movies. Oh man, I saw that one. That was good, man. This and that, and the fucking the big worm raped that chick. She was fine too, man. Big titties. Oh, we're gonna see that one. That's the way it was.
They should just put that on the poster.
Yeah,
like
you're gonna see titties in this one. Okay. All right.
You see titties and a woman gets raped by a giant worm. Yeah. Everybody's like, sold.
And it wasn't just American teenagers, man. The Italian teenagers were even worse.
Yeah.
You know, the Italians were even worse about that. It's just the way it was. Yeah, it should be that way. That's the way it's supposed to be. That does get people to fucking see a movie. It's a cheap shot, but yeah, it sells movie tickets sometimes.
It's just funny because...
It sells movie tickets on a B movie.
Yeah.
On a B movie, it sells tickets,
yeah. Well, yeah, because that's kind of one of the selling points.
Yeah, yeah.
The funny thing about it, though, is that a lot of those movies, like, you know, the rape scenes or the gore scenes or something like that, maybe amount to maybe 5 or 10 minutes in the whole movie. And then, like, the rest of it, you're just kind of, like, sitting there.
Well, actually, like, the rape scene might only be a few dozen frames.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Because you can't, I mean, both times.
You can't really show anything without getting an X-ray.
I mean, both times it happens in the dark. Like, you can tell what's happening, and you can see the boobs and stuff.
It's mostly
but,
just suggestion.
But it's mostly a suggestion. Yeah. You can't really, because I'm just like, ooh, that's kind of like, I don't know. But yeah, so.
It never showed that thing on her. It showed her laying down, and then it panned as it was coming towards her. And then it just showed her moving.
Well,
like this.
And it showed her him like the monster like tearing her clothes off.
It showed
off.
That, but then it just showed her shaking back and forth.
Yeah,
and that's it.
Like, that's it. Like that. Yeah. And I was like, uh-oh, yep. What's going on? Well, didn't it says on the Wikipedia page that she got
hypothermia?
Because even though it was Mississippi,
It was in the wintertime. It was cold.
Yeah, I guess it was like. Yeah, I think it was, like, winter or early spring.
Yeah.
And so she had to lay out there naked for, like, however long it took to shoot the fucking shit, and she got hypothermia. They had, like,
cold in Mississippi is 50. 50, 40. I mean, it can get down to freezing sometimes. That's like, a really bad winter, though. You'll see little icicles, but it never snows, really.
That's what I'm saying. It's just, I mean, it's kind of like Florida. It's like, it doesn't really...
Snow every once every 15 years, maybe.
Yeah. And it's like, it'll go down to, like, in the 30s, like, every, like, maybe once or twice a year, but that's about it.
Right.
But I don't know, but that's, they said she got hypothermia, so it must have been, like, unusually cold.
Yeah, they
had
to send her to the hospital.
Yeah, crazy. But yeah, so I'm actually kind of, like, glad that you recommended this. Because I don't, because I thought, I was like, oh, well, maybe I saw it, because I knew, like, the transformation scenes looked familiar, but I had never seen it. And it was, like, kind of cool, because, like I said, you get to see, like, the first Tom Holland writing credit, and got to see, like, spot the character actor, everybody that was in it.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it was a lot of fun. And it's a crazy story. It's just crazy.
Yeah, you gotta pay $3.99 to see it on Amazon Prime. But it's a good watch. I liked it.
Yeah, it's like a fun, if you really like early 80s, just like kind of crazy, batshit insane.
And the movie's
premises.
Taking itself seriously. It's not, it's not corny or zany. It's not trying to be funny or anything. It's trying to be kind of like American Werewolf in London and fucking Piranha. And what else would you compare it to in terms of tonally?
Yeah, it really didn't have any kind of, like, comic relief kind of shit in it, which was interesting.
At the time we watched it, we thought it was pretty hardcore. We thought it was, like, an underground kind of slasher-type movie, something you really weren't supposed to be watching. Back in, you know, when we saw it at, like, 15, we're like, oh, that's some serious shit. Oh,
man. You know. It turned into a cicada.
Oh,
that's fucked up.
Yeah.
Face is all bloody.
Yeah, up there with, like, Friday the 13th, 1, 2, and 3, you know? We thought it was like that.
Yeah.
Halloween 3, which I liked.
Yeah, that and, definitely got a reason.
Kind of like that. Kind of like, it was harder than Extro. More hardcore than Extro.
Although, I will admit, and I'm going to do a video, I actually did a video about Extro that's going up for my new channel, like, later on this month. That movie, if you haven't seen that, is weird as shit.
Yeah, that's one of the toy soldiers that was shooting people and stuff, right?
Yeah, among many other things. That wasn't even what the movie was about.
No, the little eggs.
It's an alien movie.
Eggs. Yeah, it's weird.
It is way out there.
Yeah,
it's
Extra is probably a better movie, but I think this one's more violent than Extra. I think it's been a long time since I've seen it.
I don't know, because I remember Extra has a scene where a full grown man climbs out of a woman's vagina.
I remember that. Yeah. That was weird.
So if that's your thing.
Yeah. It's a British movie, wasn't it?
It was, yeah.
Yeah, British movie.
Yeah, it had some pretty messed up shit, and it was pretty weird.
Right. But the one that fucking, the king of them all back in the day, back in these days, the ones that would really fuck us up was The Brood and Videodrome.
Cronenberg. Well, yeah.
Those were fucking weird, man.
Well, because those just, like, the ideas of them were just, like, so fucking...
Yeah.
He came up with some bizarro ass shit. I mean, you know.
Yeah.
Hard to compete with that. All right, so I guess we're gonna wrap it up.
Mm-hmm.
So tomorrow, like I said, we will be back talking about Amityville 2, The Possession, which is kind of loosely based on the DeFeo murders, but they changed everybody's name and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But
had that girl from Last American Virgin in it with the damn mole on her head, that cutie.
Diane Franklin, her name.
Yeah,
is. She was also in that movie with John Cusack, Better Off Dead. Yeah,
she played
like a French girl in it.
Takes her clothes off as always.
Well, she did in this, but she didn't in. I don't remember her
I
being.
I think she did in Last American Virgin.
She did. Yeah, I'm pretty sure she was naked in that. But I was saying like in the John Cusack one, Better Off Dead.
Yeah.
I don't think she was naked in that.
Yeah, it's her job was to show up, be cute, take her clothes off. She could act though. She could act.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I always liked her. I always thought she was great. But all right. So we'll be talking about that tomorrow. So everybody have a good rest of your weekend. Have a good 4th of July if you have the day off tomorrow. And we'll be back tomorrow evening to talk about another movie. Bye.